The Antharia Ladies Choir from what was once known as the Hermannsburg Mission in Central Australia. Well, the Australian artist Arthur Boyd visited that region in 1953, and it was a trip which inspired one of his most powerful series of paintings, The Brides. And a brilliant, heart-stopping exhibition of them has just opened at the Heidi Museum of Modern Art in Melbourne. And the curator of the show is Kendra Morgan, and she's with you and me right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Nice to have you here. So imagine that the listener doesn't know this series. Just describe us for it. Well, I mean, in a sort of overall way, what is it in sum?
Well, we really have to equate the Bride series with a series like Sidney Nolan's Ned Kelly series. It's a very significant achievement in terms of Australian art, but it's very different from the Kelly series. A lot of the paintings in the series are very large scale with monumental figures, and they're very arresting. It's an allegorical series, so it provides a critique of Australia's racial divide in the guise of an invented love story. So there are two main protagonists, an Indigenous man and his mixed-race bride, and they recur in various kind of often dreamlike, elusive, psychologically complex scenes.
Mm. And they're painted in a big, almost sort of stylized kind of form. It's a little bit like Marc Chagall, or
they are
sort of Chagall meets Picasso or something, isn't it?
Oh, that's quite a good description. They sometimes look a bit like marionettes, I think, too, in front of painted backdrops. The figures are very large and the spaces are shallow, and they're pushed right to the front of the picture space. But they do have quite mask-like exaggerated faces.
So, I mean, a famous one is a group of men, Aboriginal men, sitting around a lamplight, I think it is, and they're playing cards, and it seems that they're gambling for the bride, and the background is this bride just patiently waiting. She's got a veil on.
That's right. One of them is actually treading on her veil to kind of inhibit her escape.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's a nice detail.
And there are little fireflies hovering around the hurricane lamp, you know, who are kind of, you get the feeling that they're doomed, and obviously that's a kind of an omen for what's going to happen in the image. But she does appear to be like a chattel that they're playing for. It's based on a sketch that Boyd did of drovers playing cards. But it's a subversion of stereotypes, which he does throughout the series, because ordinarily it would be white men gambling for a black woman's favours.
It's the most disturbing experience, really, going to this exhibition, because it's disturbing because it's confronting, because the racial politics of it are difficult to deal with, because you don't really know how to read these. I mean, are these stereotyped Aborigines a bunch of gollywogs, someone said they look like? Mm-hmm. You know, some fear of miscegenation, the black guys marrying the not very half-caste-looking bride. I mean, she looks quite pale. Sometimes she's got red hair. But then there's another one. The one that really affected me is the dead bridegroom, who's got sort of blue skin, lying in his coffin, and the bride is swooping down on him, just flying in with a great scream coming out of her mouth. I mean, it's the noisiest painting I've ever seen, this absolute howl of despair that the man is lying dead in a box.
Well, they're full of intense emotion, absolutely, but you've got to really also examine Boyd's intentions when he painted them, and he had been to Central Australia. He'd actually gone to paint the landscape, and he became instead completely dismayed, appalled at the deprivation that he witnessed there, suffered by the Indigenous people. He'd really had no experience of Aboriginal people. He'd seen a man in Melbourne playing a gum leaf. That was about it. And he had kind of gone to the centre of Australia thinking that he was on a bit of a pilgrimage where Indigenous people would be living a traditional lifestyle, you know, steeped in traditional culture. And, of course, he saw people who were suffering from, you know, malnutrition. They were living in dilapidated shacks, many on reserves. They were forced into dependence on ration depots and so forth. And Boyd has always been known as an artist of great compassion and sensitivity, and very concerned about the human condition. And that's where the series arose from.
In the 1950s, it was very easy to grow up in Melbourne, as he did, and not see Aborigines, or at least not know that you were seeing Aborigines. In fact, there's a huge Aboriginal population in Melbourne, but they don't seem very visible. And whereas if you're an adult or Sydney or Brisbane, Aborigines are all around you. But in Melbourne, they are, or were in the 50s, sort of invisible.
That's right, and they were invisible in art as well. So what was true for life was true for art. And, you know, in the 50s, there was a bit of a groundswell among the creative community of artists who started to raise awareness of these issues. Russell Drysdale just preceded Boyd with some fantastic paintings. A famous one is Station Black's Cape York from 1953, and Boyd was aware of those paintings, but they really show Indigenous people kind of against neutral backgrounds to suggest displacement, but there's no sign of what was really going on. And Boyd did the same when he came back from Central Australia. His first responses to what he'd seen were quite naturalistic landscape paintings.
We're so used to the idea now that we can visit the Red Centre. You can go there in a bus or you can fly there. But we forget that that really didn't start until the 1960s. I've said before that Ayers Rock or Uluru did not even appear in the middle of Australia, in the centre of Australia, until the 1960s. It wasn't thought of as the central thing. That's a very recent idea. So when you went to the desert in the 50s, you had to go on a fairly intrepid type of tour for a city person. You had to find someone with a big truck to actually take you out where there were no tracks and, you know, camp under the stars. And I'm imagining that there wasn't much opportunity for him to have any kind of intimate contact with Indigenous people. He probably saw them from afar, did he?
Well, that's true. And he said himself he felt very much it was as an observer. You know, he was there. There was no opportunity. So in some senses, the series does reflect the fact that he, you know, subscribed to some, you know, ideas about Aboriginal people that were prevalent at the time, you know, because the key theme in the series is that the idea of the outsider, the mixed race person, as being suspended between black society and white society and not really belonging to either world. And the idea of the outsider was an important theme in Boyd's art anyway. But, you know, that also kind of was a view that the government promoted at the time because it gave them justification for assimilation policies.
Yeah, and the stolen generation policies.
Absolutely.
And it's the so-called half caste to the target of all this. This is Kendra Morgan, who has curated an exhibition, a wonderful exhibition, of the Bride series of Arthur Boyd, which is on at the moment in Melbourne at the Heidi Gallery in Melbourne. I saw it at the weekend. You walk into the room. And it's an enormous exhibition with enormous paintings. How many paintings are there in the show?
There are about 40 major works, and then there are studies and drawings and some ceramic tile paintings. But I did also try and create quite an atmosphere with the exhibition. The lighting's a little bit lower than usual,
and the works
are spotlit. Oh, thanks, Mike.
And, you know, I didn't feel actually that I was looking at a piece of political commentary or a commentary about race. I just thought there were raw emotions on the wall of a kind that was hard to imagine how someone could live with those emotions coursing through their body, because there's grief, there's desire, there's alienation, there's loneliness. There are these emotions you can't name of an intense connection between this bride and this man who are sort of both unknowable to us, and yet they're sharing something very intimate and raw.
Well, this is right. I mean, they often have been interpreted, the paintings, like a morality or a passion play about star-crossed love. And certainly there's autobiography infusing the images. There's the painting called Persecuted Lovers, which shows the Indigenous man and his lover embracing on the ground in a very desolate landscape, and they're about to be shot by an assailant with a rifle who's a white man, but his skin is painted black.
Yeah.
And that, you know, in the war, Arthur and his wife Yvonne escaped. She came up to Bendigo to visit him, and there intimacy was interrupted by the army officials who discovered that she was there secretly. And that actually...
Their intimacy? You mean they were caught doing it?
Well, I'm not exactly sure of the details. But it was found out that he had, you know, Yvonne kind of in a room in the town. And they, you know, it was before they were married. And that intrusion of authority on privacy had an effect on a lot of Arthur's paintings. We've got another work in the Heidi collection called The Good Shepherd, who also have these lovers kind of out in the open. So it's a kind of voyeuristic element, and that intrusion on privacy is a theme in his work as well.
In the painting you're describing, the bride is lying on her back in all her finery with all the veil and stuff. The groom is kind of wrapped around her. He's blue again. He's got a bunch of flowers growing out his ear. And right on them is this white man, as you say, clearly a white man, even though his skin is dark, perhaps because it's nighttime. And he's sighting a gun, which is pointing straight at the ear of the...
That's right.
It's a very tightly packed composition.
It is. And the bouquet, the bridal bouquet, which here doubles as a funerary bouquet for the groom who's just about to be, you know, murdered, is also a sexual climax, you know, symbol as well. It's repurposed throughout the whole series in a very interesting way. And it, sometimes it's like that Chagallian, you know, bouquet, because Chagall did a very famous, not even series, he did on ongoing kind of bride images throughout his career, and a lot of them employ that bouquet, which Boyd has taken and repurposed.
A joyful explosion of flowers.
That's right, a very joyful explosion. Well, but then about to turn into a funerary explosion of flowers. But the bouquet is interesting because at other times it evokes an atomic cloud, and I've often wondered if Boyd knew anything of the atomic testing at Maralinga and other places. But it's hard to know what was – that was under a shroud of secrecy and what was around in the 50s. But in the 40s he was very much – a pacifist, and he was, when the atomic, you know, bomb was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that was, you know, an incredibly appalling thing for Boyd. And I think that symbol of the atomic cloud as annihilation is evident in this series as well.
Just briefly, in the catalogue, you've got a comment by Marcia Langton, the Aboriginal intellectual, because you asked her what she made of this series, because the racial politics are troubling or elusive. What did she make of it?
Well, interestingly, her essay is quite a personal reflection. And the reason I asked Marcia to write a text for the catalogue was because no Indigenous viewpoint's ever been sought by art historians or curators on the series. And I thought, well, this is a real omission here. So she had a residency at Bundanon, which is Arthur Boyd's property in New South Wales, some years ago. And she talks in her text about the gift of Bundanon to the nation and Boyd's art collection. And her angle is that she feels that's an act of atonement for the guilt that and shame that Boyd felt about what he'd witnessed in Central Australia.
Okay. Bundanon was Boyd's property, which he...
That's right.
Where he lived and worked, and he gave it to the nation. It's still a place where artists go today. It's a kind of artist retreat. Now, there is talk that there's actually a much more personal story being played out here. It's all about love and an affair he was having.
Well, there's always a personal story. And at the time that the series was painted it was painted really in stages, which makes it quite complicated, and it didn't stay together like Nolan's Ned Kelly series. But it is known that in 1958 or 1957-8, when Boyd was painting the majority of the first sequence, his wife, Yvonne, suffered a nervous breakdown, and it was a very stressful time, and he became romantically attached to a friend who was an artist who was helping him. And she gave me access to her private diaries, and she definitely saw herself as the bride in some of the paintings. So there is an autobiographical infusion as well, and probably, you know, a sense of moral dilemma for Boyd, how he was feeling torn between this affair and his wife at the time. And I think that's reflected quite clearly in the way that the bride in some of the paintings divides into a kind of a ghostly phantom or spectral version of herself. So there's an alter ego, and there's an emotional pull between the two.
You know, Kendra, we've been talking for 15 minutes and I don't think we've resolved anything.
No.
I mean, I think you've been marvellous. Don't get me wrong. I think you've been marvellous. But I feel as though after all this discussion, I still feel as though when I look at these paintings, I'm in the presence of a mystery.
I think you're in the presence of a master too.
Well, a masterful mystery. But do you see what I mean? That in the end, there's something about these works that
they're enigmatic.
Out of reach. That we've talked about, they could have their origins in some political issue. They could have their origin in his personal life. It could come out of the trip. It could come out of nightmares. It could come out of passion. It could come out of guilt. In the end, you stand in the presence of these works and think, how did a man allow these intense emotions to take possession of his body and to transfer them onto canvas in this way so that they're still so visceral?
They're like a dream, a very intense dream, and they're a bit elusive like a dream as well, I find. So that's probably why they seem mysterious. You can't pin them down. There's no real coherent narrative, although there's a sense of incredible psychological progression and tension building. But you really have to bring a lot, you know, of your own life to the paintings as well to fill in the story.
So we've had two encounters with Boyd recently here. We've had your exhibition, and we were at the National Gallery not so long ago for the big retrospective there. And I've come away really blown away by the power of Arthur Boyd as a painter. I mean, really, that he is the major painter to me. Perhaps I'm just caught up with the currency of it all now, but I'm just so excited by being in the presence of him.
Oh, well, I looked at that in the Nebuchadnezzar room at that exhibition and I thought, wow, and these would not have been possible without the brides.
Yeah.
You know, so interesting. But they're incredibly powerful. They're another political statement, if you like. You know, they're related to his protest against the Vietnam War.
I would love to see those Nebuchadnezzar paintings on permanent display. I think they'd become our water lilies, actually. I think they're extraordinary. But that's a story for another day. Kendra, so much. It's been lovely to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Kendra Morgan is the curator of Arthur Boyd, The Brides. It's on at the Heidi Museum of Modern Art in Melbourne. It's there until the 9th of March, so you've got the whole of summer to pop along if you happen to be passing through Melbourne. And it's really worth it. I mean, I guess you've got the sense that I think it's terrific. So do pop along if you can. There are links to it on our website. You're listening to Books and Arts Daily.